Funny story, I was telling Pastor Tom years ago, I was out in Los Angeles and my dad was speaking at In His Presence Church. Pastor Mel Ayers and his wife Desiree. Now Mel was Days of Our Life soap opera star, and the Lord touched him and turned him around, and he began to pastor a church much like Pastor Tom and Lori. And Desiree was Daisy Duke's stunt fill-in. Now I know this dates me. Do any of you remember the Dukes of Hazzard? She was Daisy Duke's stunt fill-in, but she did not have shorts on that day, because some boys remember Daisy Duke for her shorts. And the term "who wears short shorts," well, that was just, you know, her to a T. But they began to pastor a church called In His Presence. And so I was sitting with my dad, and they gave him the little microphone, and I guess he turned it on because he didn't want to risk not being turned on for Jesus. And he headed off for the men's room. Well, all of a sudden, we hear a door, close. We hear stomp, stomp, stomp. We hear a little bit of water. We hear a flush. He comes back into the room. I'm like, "Dad, your microphone was on." He's like, "Oh." But anyhow, I am just so thrilled to be here this morning with the launching of Kairos Bible School for Children. I'll tell you what. Are you in school still, or are you graduated high school? All right. Well, I'll tell you, I think there's going to be a lot of opportunities at Kairos where you're going to be able to put your hand to raising up some of these young people, because I know there's a call of God on your life. I know you have something to say, and I know that you're making a way. And so through that way and through that path, you're going to help raise up these young people with Kairos for such a time as this. I'll tell you what, the children need to be set free. In our area, there was something posted from Bethel Park in regards to transgenderism. And one first grade teacher was reported as saying to a student in first grade, "That's okay, honey. Sometimes parents make a mistake when they decide which gender you are." Come on. Have we ever got to protect our children? Yeah. Yesterday, I was at a checkout line with two of my kids, and I walked up, and you know, I like to share the gospel wherever I go, and I've told you plenty of stories. Well, they said, "Okay, go to lane number 5. So I walk up to lane number 5, and there is Vivian. Vivian has long blonde hair, bangs, some must have had a female undergarment on, t-shirt, skirt. I said, "God loves you and has an awesome plan for your life." "Sir, I'm a woman." Well, Vivian undoubtedly was not a woman. Vivian was a young man, a young man with his hair dyed blonde. And the Bible says in Proverbs 15:1, a soft answer turns away wrath. So I wasn't going to go, "Well, you know, God loves you." You know, I didn't want to be in his face. Obviously, this is somebody who's been hurt. Something's happened. This is, you know, messed up thinking. What in the world could have made this individual, you know, want to look like this? And so as I left, I said, real soft, I said, "Well, you look like a man." So I believe that was seed, and that you look like a man is going to turn that young man around. But I'll tell you, we've got to protect the kids. And there is such a time as this for this Bible school. And I'm so thankful. We did Faith Christian School in Williams Bay, Wisconsin for many, many years. And I believe in it. And there's a lot of good God-fearing people that are giving and living sacrificially to put their kids through Christian school. We had a woman back at Faith by the name of Sue Knudsen, and I told her, I said, "You ought to be bronzed and put on the top of the building." She worked for 26 years putting 8 children through Christian school. Not only that, 8 sets of braces. The orthodontist in the land, Dr. Youngquist, sent this huge bouquet of flowers the day that her last got out of braces. So it is no small thing. I mean, they had fundraiser after fundraiser after fundraiser. I'll never forget the year when my husband was suffering for Jesus on his job in Curacao. And there I was with 2 second graders and a 3-year-old trying to sell Christmas wreaths for Faith Christian School, because I figured if I'm going to be a parent at this school, I'm going to do my best, because I know what their need is. Like, they would have staggering amounts, like $30,000, $40,000 for wreath fundraisers. So we'd go out, we'd go door to door, and we'd sell these Christmas wreaths and raise $1,000 for the school. So there's all kinds of great ways that the Lord has for making this provision. But right now, let's go to the Lord for a word of prayer. I don't want to talk too much about all my experiences because I want you to experience a revelation from God this morning. I want you to experience a refiring, a rekindling, a reuniting. Stirring it up. You know, it's so easy to just sit in the same old pew and in our own pew, you know, just, you know, like Pastor Tom said, the words, a hallelujah is not a small thing to give to the Lord. It's what he desires. He created us to praise him. He created us for greatness. He created us to not merely exist and just get by, but he created us to be on top and rising. Thanks be to God who always, not sometimes, not part of the time, not Monday, not when the weather's nice, not when there's not COVID or there's not oppression coming from the government. He always causes us to triumph. So, Father, hallelujah. We come to you this morning in the mighty, majestic, matchless name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for your anointing on me today in these lips of clay. I thank you, Father, that the word will come forth with accuracy and boldness. I will speak no more and no less than you, God, have ordained me to speak. And I count this, Father God, as a privilege and an honor. Now, Pastor Tom and Lori, they are an amazing couple, and there's really nothing I wouldn't do for them. And I know there's nothing they wouldn't do for me. And that is why we go around doing absolutely nothing for, no, I'm just kidding, for each other. And I know that he's a gentleman because I saw him come out of a door that said so down the hall. Gentlemen. You know, in America, 3,000 to 4,000 churches consistently close their doors. You don't just go out and start a church just because you had too many anchovies on a pizza and get heartburn and think you've heard from God. You have got better know that you know that you know that you've heard from God. 400 pastors per week, according to Focus on the Family, say, you know what, see ya, wouldn't want to be ya. Most of the body of Christ is not like the people of Testament of Love because 5% of the body of Christ reportedly pays a tithe. That means that 95% of the people in the body of Christ have the windows of heaven closed. I'll tell you what, I want my windows wide open. Amen. In Jesus' name. We cannot afford not to be givers and tithers into the house of God. We cannot afford to look to the economy or look to just investments. We've got to sow into the greatest place of return that there is. And God has raised up a great church like Testament of Love who believes that Jesus heals, saves, and delivers regardless of what it took for you to get here today. You need to know that God's not mad at you. Jesus loves you. In him is salvation, love, and acceptance. A great message produces a great number of people. Now, a mediocre author could come in here and write a great story about your life because it represents the great grace of God. There's a great grace upon you. The Bible says he has made all grace abound to you, that you having all sufficiency of every good thing, do abound to every good work. There's a good work that the Lord has for you to do. Well, you know, I just don't know what to do. Everything I try to do. No, God's showing you it's a new day. He's making a new way. There's a new plan. There's a new thing to stand for in your life. And you are going to go out with victory and shout today in Jesus' name. Now, you know, we're in the second quarter of 2022, and I'm sure that many of you can testify to the fact that you are as busy as ever. But you know what? Productive people are happy people. If you don't keep moving, you won't be moving. You know, you've got to move. I mean, I'm like the zebra in Mary Madagascar. I like to move it, move it. I like to move it, move it. I mean, we've got to keep moving. Yeah, we've got to move our bodies. We've got to move our mouths to speak the word of God. We've got to move in the house of God, doing that what he's called us to do. And there's nothing else that can satisfy like living for the joy of singing praise and worship to our King, or leading someone in the prayer of salvation, helping get the building and the school erected and running for God. One of my greatest goals this morning is to minister a refreshing and revival fire, a new anointing, a new excitement, that you would walk out of here getting excited about getting excited. You know, it takes work to get excited. You have got to stir yourself up. No one's going to do it for you. I mean, I can come over there and we can pray and we can rub all the hair off your head and you can get a have a Holy Ghost tingle and a yippity-doo-dah-day. But what are you going to do when you go out of here and the service is over? You've got to pray in the Holy Ghost. You've got to build yourself up. You've got to sing worship and praise to the King. You have got to make a decision that, bless God, I'm going to get excited about being excited. I'm going to walk into glory doing the work of the Lord. And the Lord Jesus Christ is going to say, well done, instead of, well. And there's so much. Hallelujah. You know, it's a great privilege to be here. Pastor Tom shared with me that he's only in 6 years been out of his pulpit 6 times. 3 of those times my dad shared in the school. And one of those times was last August when I got to come, which is such a privilege. And now this is my 2nd time. So that equals 5. And there was one other time. So in 6 years, this is only the 6th time that he stepped out of this place. This is an honor. And it's a privilege to be before you. And I hope you realize what you have in pastors, Pastors Tom and Lori. They could be doing anything they want to do. They could be cruising the Caribbean. They could be, you know, wearing a grass skirt. And Tom could be chasing Lori with a lawnmower. But he's not. Wearing a pretty lace lay. And laying on a beach. You know, they could be walking their dog, but what are they doing? They're having an appreciation dinner. They're caring about people. They're keeping a beautiful building. They're starting a school with you guys. I mean, and I know that you're putting your hand to a lot, but I'll tell you what, the Bible says everything you lay your hand to prospers in Jesus' name. It will grow the church. I believe for new families, new people, new excitement, fresh fire. I mean, when you get around kids. Kids are the coolest. I mean, and you know, God doesn't have grandkids. He just has kids. And he blesses us with those children so we can keep our youth and keep our fire. Well, there's so much that God wants to do in our lives. You know, when I first got born again, I was about as out of place as a woodpecker on an aluminum pole. I went to the first church of the Frigidaire, where many are called, few are chosen. Some were cold, but most were frozen. Every morning, the prisoners marched in at noon, and then they marched out, you know. The devil took a nap up on the roof because there wasn't much going on the inside. That we didn't have all the music and the worship and the anointing and the power that's on those musicians that we heard play this morning. We had a biblical pianist. That's where the left hand doesn't know what the right hand's doing, so they could finish twice as fast. We had one deacon, and we dressed him in a sheet with a coat hanger to give him a halo that said, "Why seek ye the living among the dead?" I mean, when we go to church, there better be some fresh manna. There better be some life. There better be some joy. What is the kingdom of God? Well, the Bible tells us it's righteousness, right standing with God, peace, the peace of God that passes all understanding, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. He will keep us in perfect peace because our mind is stayed on the Lord. You do not need to be concerned about the path. The Lord's taking care of it. You know, these kids, they get to be seniors, and they think they've got to have everything figured out. I guarantee you that 95% of people that go to school and graduate with some degree doing something wind up doing something totally different 10 to 15 years later. So just enjoy the journey. Be at peace. God is with you. He is never going to leave you or forsake you. He's raising you up. And raising you up. And he's raising each and every one of us up. Doesn't matter if you're a senior in high school or if you're a senior that people would call a senior over 60 or whatever the supposed number is supposed to be. There's always more with God. You know, he hasn't called you to retire. He's called you to refire. And so there's so much that he wants us to do in our lives. Can you agree with that today? And there's some things that he is redoing in our lives. And so, you know, for a lot of people, they redo their house. Diane, Gail's sister, she's always redoing a house. I mean, she is a full-time redoer. She's, ever since I've known her, she's been redoing something. A bedroom, maybe a bad hairstyle, or for me, it's recipes, because my cooking needs to be redone. But I believe there's some things that God wants to redo in our lives. I believe he wants to reaffirm you today. He wants you to receive, reciprocate, reclaim, reconcile, reconstruct, recover, recreate, recuperate, redeem, redeliver, reeducate, reemphasize, reestablish, reflect, reform, rehabilitate, reinstall, remit, remodel, remove, renounce, reoccupy, reopen, reorganize, repair, repay, repeat, replace, reproduce, resource, respect, restore, retain, and reveal, because God is a do-it-again God. How many of you know that the last thing he did for you is not going to be the last thing that he ever did? Yeah. Well, in 1985, the Lord helped me buy a house. Well, guess what? He's ready and waiting to do something else for you right now. He is not up there going, well, I did enough for her. I don't want to do any more. He's going to do it again and again and again and again and again. Exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you dare ask or think. Some of us just really need to expand our ministry. And when I say that, that doesn't mean to gain 100 pounds and expand your ministry. But we need to expand our vision. And I love what's going on here. It's expanding. It's expanding, and you're going to see more people coming in. He's created us to multiply, and he says in Genesis 1:28, right after he told us that we were created in his image, it says that God blessed them, and he said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over every living thing that moves on the earth. And one of the biggest hurdles that many of us need to overcome is simply that we think too small. God is big. He's a big God. There are no limits placed on the King of Kings, the Almighty, the Omnipotent, the Omniscient One, the Alpha and the Omega, the creator of the universe. In John 14:12, the word says, most assuredly. How many of you know that when Jesus Christ says most assuredly, you can be assured? In the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God. You can take this word of God to the bank. This word does not return void. It accomplishes, Mike, that which we send it to do. What have you been sending the word to do lately? How about that old song? What have you done for me lately? But what word have you sent out to do, to work on your behalf lately? It says, most assuredly I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these, because I go to my Father. So it wasn't, he wasn't just saying, you know, you'll do what I do when I was here on the earth, but he said, you'll do even greater things. And I know, Pastor Lori, that the Lord Jesus Christ has enabled you and equipped you to do way more than you ever thought you'd be able to do. And sometimes, you know, that voice may come thinking, well, you know, what about the future? How am I going to be able to do this? How am I going to be able to? The Lord is always going to equip you. His grace is limitless. Yeah. It abounds to you. It is going before you. Romans 8:11, if that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells on Tom and Lori Totten and Testament of Love Church, if it dwells in you, it'll quicken your mortal body. People can do. I remember Pastor David Hawley, too. He would always, you know, say, you know, we can do a lot more than we think we can do. We really can. We are equipped. And I know there's, you know, there's wisdom, you know, in taking care of things and taking care of your body and not, you know, just trying to run yourself ragged, doing. I mean, there's a point where God wants to just rest, you know, and know that he's God. But I really believe that we limit the greater one by not believing his word over us. Of course, you know, the King of Kings said unto you and unto me that we would do greater works. And this was the Lord Jesus Christ speaking. And I said in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word was with God and was God. And the one, the one who walked on water and opened the Red Sea, who healed the blind and the woman with the issue of blood, that's the one who said you could do greater works than he did. I mean, Kairos may be, in Jesus' name, the biggest school in the land. Not far from now. And it's just birthed right now. I mean, Jesus was birthed, and he was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's doing it. He's moving. He's putting the ideas in each and every one of you. God's got something for all of us. And just because you prayed for somebody one time and maybe you didn't see a manifestation of a miracle that you were believing for doesn't mean that God's word is any less true. Now, have any of you ever felt, and you know, feelings do lie, but have you ever felt like you've just been canned, you know? Whoops. Or ladies, maybe you can relate to this. Pastor Lori, I hope not. You woke up in the morning and you just felt like an old bag. Feelings. Nothing more than feelings. And maybe some of you guys are thinking, you know, I used to have it, but now I'm just yesterday's old news. Or perhaps you're thinking, you know, I just really feel so overwhelmed, I just can't catch up. Now, by the way, some of you might be thinking, well, gee, I need to adjust my briefs because I feel like I'm wearing milkbone underwear in a dog-eat-dog world. But I want you to know that feelings lie. God did give us a soulish realm with a mind, will, and emotions. But if you're taking care of the temple of the Holy Ghost, you were bought with a price, and you're glorifying God in your body, you are not going to be led by your feelings. You're going to be led by the inward witness of the Holy Spirit that says, it is written, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. And I know that you want a do-it-again God to do it again for you, because he has much for you to do in the year of 2022. Now, whatever it is that you've been going through, I want you to know that it came to pass. That's what the word said. It came to pass. And God wants to fix that which is messed up. And the last thing that he did for you is not the last thing that he's going to do. Because God has more. He is more. He is love that never runs out, miracles that never run out, time that never runs out, strength that never runs out, joy that never runs out, provision that never runs out. This is chill out and charge up morning. Amen? So if you're going to expand your ministry and vision in 2022, you're going to need a steady flow of the Word of God. The Word is power. I mean, the Word is power. I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is power unto salvation. What is salvation? Healing, prosperity, deliverance, our needs met. The Word is power. It's life in living water. We've got to have a steady flow. We've got to be like the steady brook, you know? Otherwise, we'll dry up on the vine. We've got to have it. Joshua 1:8 says that this book of the law shall not depart out of our mouth, but we shall meditate therein day and night and observe to do all that's written therein, and then we'll make our way prosperous and have good success. Well, Sister Wendy, how do you meditate on the word? Well, I like to do it like this. If the word says I can do all things through Christ, I'll shorten it up so that it doesn't take so long. I'll put an emphasis on each and every word. I can do all things through Christ. 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 I can do all things, and so on. You get the idea, and you chew on it, and you think on it. You don't think on, oh man, I got so much to do. How am I ever going to do this? I'm tired. I'm sick. Those are the thoughts of the devil. Do not be conformed to this world. The world wants you to think you're going to get a cold or a cough. That's gonna, excuse me. I'm say it, not spray it. If you sit on the front row, you might need a towel. But you know, walk around. If I mean, really, honestly, in the natural, I have to even guard myself against fear. If I sneeze, I am so self-conscious of the fact that I sneezed because of, you know, all the COVID hubbub. It's ridiculous. No, by the stripes of Jesus Christ, I was healed. But, you know, he sent his word and healed us. I'm not concerned about sickness, but I'm concerned that the person around me might be concerned about sickness because not everybody has their mind renewed. So we must be not conformed to this world, but we must be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And guess whose responsibility that is? Is it Pastor Tom's responsibility? Is it Pastor Lori's responsibility? Is it my responsibility? It's our own responsibility. Each and every one of us has got to get it the same way. It's our job. It's our part-time job, just keeping ourselves able to do our job. You know? Hallelujah. Well, when we keep a steady flow of the Word of God coming into our life, we'll keep the Word coming into our eye gate, ear gate, and mouth gate. This morning, God wants you to relax, refresh, renew, and recharge. Now, he likes his kids to relax too. Like I sometimes, you know, I've got four kids. Now Mikey's in baseball, but like you almost feel, not to use that word, but if they come home from school and don't have an extracurricular activity or they're not like marching around in a school for 8 hours, like, you know, you're not doing enough. Like they've got to have an event every night. I mean, some of these kids literally are run ragged. I remember at Portersville Christian School, we actually had a boy who stepped out of a shower and had a heart attack. And, you know, the medical system, as wonderful as they are, they don't know what to do. And they, you know, even though it was a Christian school, there wasn't a whole lot of believing God going on. But, you know, they induce people into comas and do all kinds of crazy things. And then trying to bring them back out and teach them how to breathe again like a normal human is foreign to them because of the whole, you know, get in the hospital, let's stick a tube down you. And I'm not saying that there aren't genuine situations where, you know, things are valid and necessary. But we've got to approach life with more of a relaxed attitude. God's not, you know, wound up. He's not stressed out. And we all relax in different ways. Some like to read, do crafts. For me, I like to shop. My favorite historical landmark, Pastor Lori, is the Woodfield Mall, if you'd ever like to hit the mall with me. One of the things I like to do to relax is not cook. Can you say not cook? My cooking's so bad, the flies took up an offering to fix the screen door. I told my husband last weekend that I wanted to go somewhere for dinner that I hadn't been in a while. He said, well, how about the kitchen? And I love men. They have their own ways of relaxing. And a lot of the men in my life like to fish. And so a couple of them rented a boat, the best equipment, rods, reels, wading suits, rowboat, car, even a cabin in the woods. I mean, they spent a small fortune. And the first day they went out fishing, they didn't catch anything. The second day they went out fishing, they didn't catch anything. On the third day they went out, they didn't catch anything. Finally, on the last day of their vacation, one of the guys caught a fish. And as they drove home, they lamented about how few fish they caught. And one of them turns to the other and says, do you realize this one lousy fish cost us $2,500? My uncle piped up, well, it's a good thing we didn't catch any more. But, you know, it's the process. And if we don't put a dollar amount and we just look at the event, it's still a good prospect. So right now, right where you're sitting, take a deep breath, breathe in, look at your neighbor, and say, will you just relax? Now, do you know that the word relax simply means to make less rigid or tense or slacken, to make less severe or strict? Kind of like schools. They need to make things less severe and strict. I have a little story to tell you. This is kind of personal. I got kicked out of the lunchroom back at our school because I sang and danced around the table. Because I thought it would be fun to go around and go, Mikey, Mikey, Bo, Mikey, Banana, Fana, Fo, Fikey, me, my, Mo, Mikey, Mikey, what's your name? And then the child would tell me her name. Piper, Piper, Bo Piper, Banana, Fanta, Fo Piper, Me, My, Mo, Miper, Piper. And so on and on this went, because I really felt like have you seen kids in a school? They look like tired, weary soldiers. And I get that they're not harming them, and they're speaking pretty positively over them for the very most part. And there are awesome, born-again, spirit-filled teachers in public school and Christian school. But, you know, they're little humans. Half of the adults don't even work as hard as they do. Seriously. Between their school, their homework, and their extracurricular activities, they need the structure. They don't need to just be out running around, getting into trouble. There's balance and wisdom. But honest to God, the joy is trying to be sucked out of each and every one of us, sucked out of our children, sucked out of the earth, sucked out of the church. We have got to have joy. The Bible says that us as believers should have joy unspeakable and full of glory. That joy is strength. If you feel weary and worn out, how much joy do you have? You better check your joy meter. How are you going to get more joy? You're going to worship and praise. It brings strength. Reverend Larry Huggins, I don't know if any of you know him, but he was big at CLC. He was, he was married to Pat Harrison. And when he came to CLC, he said something that stuck with me forever. This might stick with the young people because of the words. But he'd say, worship sucks the blessings out of God. And I always remembered, you know, I was kind of a new believer, so it was a little bit carnal. And I thought, oh, gee, that's really cool. But it does. Because the more we worship and the more we praise and the more we magnify who he is, the smaller all of this becomes. And the more he brings our way. So I was talking about slackening and becoming less rigid or tense. But, you know, there's some things that we do want to keep firm. And one of those is our bodies. We've got to work on ourselves all the time. One little boy said to his brother, "What in the world is mom doing on the scale?" And the other brother said, "I don't know, but I think it's a religious exercise, because every time she steps on the scale, she yells, 'Dear God.'" Some of you might think that God's just up there wanting us to be pressed down, wound up, tightened up, geared up, running around in a hurry to accomplish what he wants us to do. Yes, he wants us to put forth effort. He wants us to be ambitious and savvy for him, but he wants to relax in him while we do it. Do you know, you can be busy and relaxed at the same time. It's an internal thing. It's the Spirit of God. What is the production or the produce or the proof that Christ is in you? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The fruit or the produce of what Christ does in us. So if all those things are operating in us, no matter what we do, no matter what we're going through, we can be at peace. God's not nervous. You know what lies at the bottom of an ocean and twitches? A nervous wreck. He's not nervous about the things he's doing. He's not nervous about the things you're doing. This morning, God wants to paint a new picture of himself to you. And we've confined our image of God to our own ability to imagine, you know? And it really doesn't suffice, because God is so much more intricate in his master planning. In Isaiah 55:8, he says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. As high as the heaven is above the earth, Piper, that's how much higher my thoughts and ways are than you." He's got it all figured out. We don't have to. We don't have to know all there is to know. We just need to know the one who knows. Amen? Yeah. Hallelujah. So you'll stay relaxed when you have a steady flow of God, the word of God coming in. Because Romans 10:17 says that faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And Isaiah 26:3 says that joy and peace. If you don't have joy and peace, you're probably not believing. Because Isaiah says joy and peace are found in believing. So if you're void of those two things, check your faith. How much word have you been taking in? You know, I don't know that just listening to a podcast is enough. Listening to all of Pastor Tom's messages are good and fabulous and will build up your faith. But you've got to look into the Word of God for yourself. You've got to get the Word of God. Amen? Or you're going to feel like you're wearing milk bone underwear in a dog-eat-dog world. How many of you have dogs in this room? I've got a labradoodle. You know that dog backwards is God? Did you hear about the dyslexic, agnostic, insomniac? They lied awake all night wondering if there really was a dog. Well, bless God, how can I relax when all these kids are bouncing off the wall? Do you know that the greatest miracle in the Bible was, do you know what it was? The greatest miracle was when Joshua told his son to hold still and he obeyed. That would be the miracle in our house. In our house, when handwriting used to appear on the wall, it was the work of my youngest son. I mean, a merry heart does good like a medicine. It'll help you with your finals. I mean, sometimes people just have to have a good ha-ha-ha. Ha-ha-ha, devil. Ha-ha-ha. Do you know the Bible says, at destruction and famine, I will laugh. I will laugh. At destruction and famine, I will laugh. Ah-ha-ha-ha-ha. Ah-ha-ha-ha-ha. Oh, devil, you're defeated. At destruction and famine, I will laugh. Now, we don't laugh at people that are hurting. But we do something about it. Because we're the ones that are strong and staying fit in the word and fit in the kingdom so that we can help the hurting. We have so many opportunities. I mean, they're all around us all the time. There's so many opportunities that you really have to pray and believe God. You know, what am I supposed to do? There'll be a peace in it. So stop letting yourselves, yes, we have the power over ourselves to become agitated and disturbed. Now, Pastor Lori told me that one of the men in the church said to Pastor Tom the other day, very few things upset my wife. I feel so very special to be one of them. No, they really didn't say that. People are disturbed because of the burdens they carry. And the reason they're disturbed and weary is because they're not meant to carry them. 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your cares on him because he cares for you. The book of Proverbs, I think it's 15:25. Don't write that down because I'm not positive. You can Google it. Says, anxiety in the heart of man causes depression. I mean, has there ever been a day with so many commercials for this depression, that depression, Celebrex, Sebralta, whatever those names are? You know what it is? People being impressed by the devil. Because if he impresses you, he will oppress you. And if he can oppress you, he will depress you. How do we get rid of anxiety that causes depression? Well, be anxious for nothing, but by everything with prayer. Oh, there's an idea. You mean I should pray? Do you know that prayer is work, and it's work that a lot of people don't like to do? I mean, when you have a prayer service at your church, I don't know how many people show up. There's no condemnation. I'm not condemning. But the Bible says the effective and fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Prayer works. Little prayer, little power. Much prayer, much power. We have got to pray, church. We have got to. Well, I can't send all my money to Ukraine. Well, you can pray. You know, you can pray. You can pray the word. You can pray in the Holy Spirit. Jude 20 says you will be built up in your most holy faith. There is such a thing as a most holy faith. It's not just, well, keep the faith, brother. No, faith is the substance of the things you're hoping for. It is the evidence. It is the assurance and title deed, the Amplified Bible says, of the things you haven't seen. Faith is substance. It gives substance to what you're hoping for. Well, I sure hope that the people of Ukraine will get enough food. Father, I thank you. I praise you. I bless the people of Ukraine in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, that you're sending the laborers into the harvest for their salvation. You're sending food, and we can pray. How many in this room are baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues? That's almost all. Well, during prayer, we're going to give you the opportunity to receive that gift. If you'd like You know, if you'd like to, I'll tell you what, one of the eight reasons to pray in the Holy Spirit is that it's the perfect will of God. And you know who receives the Holy Spirit so easily, Piper? Do you know who receives the Holy Spirit so easily? Kids. Because they don't have to sift through years and years and years and years of tradition and religion. They just believe. That's why God says to come to him like a child. Like a child. Hallelujah. Well, we were never meant to carry all the things that come at us, but we do need Jesus. We have a great need for Christ, and Christ has a great need for us. Mother Teresa said, you'll never know Jesus is all you need until Jesus is all you have. There's much to do in 2022, and God's a do-it-again God. He wants to refresh you again. You know, I hear so many people talking, they say, you know, I just have way too much to do. And that's exactly true. You have way too much to do. That is why you have got to stay, Mike, under the spout where the glory comes out. Yeah. It'll put a little pep in your step, a little glide in your stride. I mean, you'll be running around, oh gosh, what can I do today? Pastor Lori, Pastor Tom, I'm just so excited about Jesus. What can I do? He's got something new for you to do. He's got something new for you to put your hand to. And it's something that'll bring victory and joy to you. I mean, God doesn't want you to just, you know, do a bunch of things that you really don't like. But there are times when, you know, we do things with the sacrifice of love. You know, somebody's got to clean. Somebody's got to cook some food. You know, I cleaned the throne room in the house of God for many years. I really did. He who sits on the throne is high and lifted up. Okay. The second thing that the Lord Jesus Christ wants to minister to you is being refreshed. And if you're under that spout, you will have the glory. And you will keep it, and you'll be stable. Philemon 1:20 says, yes, brother, let me have joy from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in the Lord. You and I are transmitters. Our attitudes, our emotions, our words, they're affecting the people that are all around us. Your fresh outlook is contagious. You are a refreshing to the people that you're around. If you walk into a gas station to get a cup of coffee or a Starbucks, you can bring a refreshing with you and tell somebody that God loves them and has a plan for their life. I mean, people, not everybody is hearing the word. Not everybody's getting the teaching of testament of love. You can invite them to church. You can give them cards. You know, if you're not comfortable with all those words, you can do something, even if it's a smile. It takes 14 muscles to smile. And 72 muscles to frown. I mean, if you are a believer, you better look like you've got something to share with somebody else. You don't want to have the kind of breath that'll knock a buzzard off a barnyard. You don't want to look like you just crawled out from under a rock. You know, we want to have something that people want. We're transmitters. People ought to just love being around us. Our refreshing is in the Lord. It's not in football. It's not in baseball, shopping, cooking, eating out, golf, workouts. Our refreshing is in the Word and praying in the Holy Ghost. Acts 1:8 says that we will receive power. How many of you need some more power? I do, when the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you'll be witnesses to me when you receive that power. That's how you know you have it. If you have power, it says you'll be witnesses. It says you will receive power and be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, to all the ends of the earth. Praying in the Spirit is not just for the pastors of the church or the fivefold ministry gifts. A visitor at the church said to the guy next to him, why isn't pastor praying in English? The man replied, I don't know. He must be a foreign minister. Your refreshing is in godly relationships in this room. Look around. These are and should be the best friends you'll ever have. Amen. Amen. People in the world do not need to come to a church, and they won't, because they have other things to do, full of people who are up one day and down another. How are you? One elevator said to another. Well, I'm okay, but I have my ups and downs. I mean, we ought to have a good report. A good report maketh the bones fat. That's what needs to be coming out of our mouth. Ephesians 4:29, let know. Oh, let. Does that mean we have control? Yes. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but only that which is good to the use of edifying, that it would minister grace to the hearer. If you do that, you'll grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. How many of you can remember times, I can remember times myself, when I've said a bunch of stuff and I was just like, oh, I feel like the Holy Spirit just, you know, took a big vacation because everything I said was not of God. You know, you can repent, renounce, and reject the words that you've spoken and minister that life back to yourself by speaking back the word over the situation. We do not want to tie God's hands. And so when we're speaking in line with his word, the ministering angels are loosed on our behalf. But if we're going to let a whole bunch of garbage come out of our mouth, oh, I don't feel good. Nothing good ever happens to me. Oh, this word stuff doesn't work. Well, that's right. It's not going to work for you because you said so. So your ministering angels are all taking a hike and saying, see, I wouldn't want to be. I'll go help somebody who can keep their mouth straightened out. We are responsible for our lives. If we don't like what we are living in, then we need to change us. Yeah. One of the most important and vital parts of being refreshed is repentance. Acts 3:9 says, repent therefore and be converted. Speaking of being converted, I almost became a Unitarian or a Jehovah's Witness. You know what you get when you cross a Unitarian with a Jehovah's Witness? Someone knocking on doors for no apparent reason. Which reminds me of what Michael Jackson and the Chicago Cubs used to have in common. Now, this is before the last World Series that they won, but they both wore a glove for no apparent reason. I was born in Pennsylvania, so I almost, you know, became Amish. You know, do you know what was the cause for the Amish couple's divorce? The husband was driving his wife buggy. Have you ever heard of, now, this is true. The last time I went to visit my dad in Warsaw, I was in Indiana, and there was an Amish or Mennonite family just as clean and neat and respectful and awesome looking as could be. And believe it or not, they were in the service plaza at Burger King. Like, I was shocked. Like, they go to Burger King, and they must have been driving a car because they were at a service plaza. And I wasn't with my husband because I didn't want to embarrass him. I probably wouldn't do this if I was with him, but I went up and I had been at Panera Bread. I set my drink down and I said, excuse me. I says, I pray that you'll take this the right way, but I have to share this with you. I said, have you ever heard of Amish road rage? And they looked at me because they don't talk a whole lot. And the wife looked and she had two small children, one in this hand and one in the other hand. I said, well, yeah, Amish road rage. I said, well, now this is more popular when there was actual road rage out on the 405 in Los Angeles. But it sounds like this. Clop, clop, bang, bang. Clop, clop, bang, bang. Go churn butter. And so they actually thought that was funny. So I was really glad that they weren't embarrassed. See, I just enjoy myself, you know. It was just a really good time for me. I really loved it. Do you know why Amish people don't water ski? The horses would drown. I'll tell you what, the Amish people are well supplied. They live a very righteous and holy life and love God. And I am in Pennsylvania, and there, like the Walmart by the camping ground an hour and a half away actually has a place to tie up horses. And so it's very common to see them clopping down the street, and they're beautiful people. But one of the most necessary things is repentance, and that brings us back up to the highest place with God. Acts 3:9 says, repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that, why should we repent and be converted and have our sins blotted out? So that times of refreshing may come. You know, everybody can probably remember their first Jesus moment, the first time they gave their heart to the Lord. Everything was brand new. It was exciting. They had Holy Ghost goosebumps. You know, it was, I have decided to follow Jesus. It was brand new, you know, and they just felt like, oh, man, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, everything has become new. I'm a new person. Wow, zippity-doo-da-day. Well, how many of you know feelings, you know, they wear off? And a lot goes on, you know, and each and every day we probably do things or don't do things we could have or should have, you know. So when we repent, these times of refreshing come back over us, and the presence of the Lord is made real to us again. And then we're powered up again in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Well, how long have I been going, Pastor Tom? Keep going? Okay, we're good. Okay. So why do we need refreshing? We need it because things in our life and our walk with God can, if we let it, not because God lets it or makes it, can become old. Take our marriages, for example. It's said before marriage, a man will just yearn for his wife. And after marriage, sometimes he just earns for his wife. We've got to keep that love fire going. I'll tell you what, well, I was just up at Women of the Word, and Reverend Melissa Swindle was there, and she just got married 4 months ago, and her husband, she calls him James Bond for Jesus. And she said, now, if any of you have any marriage tips for me, come on over and let me know. She actually found her husband in Switzerland. She's been in 25 nations of the world, and I said to her, well, here's my tip. Love is blind, but marriage is a real eye-opener. And it's like a fine Stradivarius violin. Long after the sweet music's over, the strings are still attached. But then, I said, we're still having an orchestra, making a symphony. I'll tell you what, it doesn't need to get old. It doesn't. The love grows deeper. The relationship with God grows deeper. The relationship with the people in the church grows deeper. Your testimonies grow deeper. It just gets better and better and gooder and gooder and greater and greater and brighter and brighter. Yeah. It's not going down. If you feel like everything's just going down and everything's just falling apart and then you are not hearing from God, because God's way is always up and out, over the top. Hallelujah. I believe it's time to lay some things aside this weekend and be refreshed and converted. Hebrews 12:1 says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. There's that thing to lay aside and repent from, and let us run. When you need to be refreshed, run. If you feel stagnant, lazy, and lethargic, get off your blessed assurance and stop singing, I shall not be moved. Get out, walk around, run around, yell hallelujah, praise the Lord. Where we live, there's a 3-mile loop, and I mean, I walk around there, and I just yell at the top of my lungs. And I know some of my neighbors might think I'm rather interesting, but you know what? It ministers to me, and it releases the praises of God, and if you don't shout, you'll go without. Well, praise the Lord. I mean, there's wisdom, there's discretion, you know, in all of those things. The Holy Spirit will lead. But I think we're all just a little bit too concerned of being too much for people. People need too much. I need too much of God. I need too much provision. I don't need too much food all the time, although we always have too much food in our refrigerator, because God is the God of more than enough. He's got more than enough wisdom, more than enough finance, more than enough joy, more than enough peace, more than enough patience. He has more than enough, and he has it for you today. We look unto Jesus. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. He wrote it. He's going to finish it. He's going to do it, because for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the throne of God. You know, I talked to a woman this weekend whose son at 27 went to heaven after, and I know he was prayed for by great pastors, great preachers of God. You know, some people say, well, if all this works, and you know, why did he die? Why didn't he get healed? Well, he is healed. He's healed now. He's in heaven. Did you want him to stay? Yeah. Do you know why? Well, his thoughts are not my thoughts. His ways are not my ways. As high as the heavens are above the earth. I know God didn't take him. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. You know, I don't have all the answers, but I know this. He's in the cloud of witnesses. And what if you want to do something productive after the loss of a loved one? Go out and give the devil the biggest black eye he's ever had. And tell somebody about Jesus. That's what I did when my first husband went to the Lord. I said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get everybody saved. We had a minister come into our church that came out of Tommy Zito's ministry. And Tommy Zito came out of Rodney Howard Brown's ministry, and they're big on soul winning. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. We who win souls are wise. I thought, people are walking casket side. I'm going to tell them about the Lord. You know, it was after a big bout with dentistry. We got the dentist saved. We got the people born again. You know, they have to work out their salvation, but we prayed the prayer of salvation with them that sold us the grave site. Whatever hurt you have in your life, you can turn around. You can know that whatever it is didn't come from God, so it came from the devil. So you can turn around and give the devil a big black eye, send him to the backside of hell, sucking out a bottle of Maalox and dialing 911. He ought to be so concerned that Evie's up again. Oh, man, that lady, she's up again. She's going to pray in the Holy Ghost. She's going to see her family through the day. She's going to lay her life down for the Lord. Oh, they're praising and worshiping again. I mean, let's make him mad. He's a thief. What do you do with thieves? You put them in jail. We should not be the ones in jail. We should not be the ones in bondage. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There's peace. There's freedom. Ephesians 5:26 says, we are cleansed with the washing of the water of the word. And for you men that are husbands in this room, the Bible tells the husbands to wash his wife with the water of the word. If you don't like the way she's treating you, you might just want to go over there and clean her up with some good old, boy, honey, the beauty of the Lord's upon you. Do you know that's a scripture in the Bible? You know, just go speak the word over her. Tell her she, you know, that she is more than enough because of the Christ that lives in her. Tell her she's more than a conqueror. Tell her she's going over and not under. You know, people need to be encouraged with courage. Because everybody just naturally, because we live in such a and your husband, glory to God, you know, they need to hear Jesus coming out of you. There is nothing more attractive to a man or a woman than their husband or their love, you know, their boyfriend or their spouse speaking the word over them and building them up. It is precious. It's more precious than diamond. It's more precious than gold. It is the most precious thing you can give to anybody. Do you know the Bible says that the sower sows the word? Well, God wants to renew us, and he wants us to take everything that's old and make it new. Now, when my oldest was little, he would say, why does Grandpa walk so much slower than me? I replied, well, he's just a little bit older than us. My youngest replied then, will he walk faster when he's old and a half? Speaking of grandpas and grandmas, one of the grandmas at the church told me a marvelous way to eliminate wrinkles. Are you ready for this wrinkle eliminating tip? Just take off your glasses. One grandma said to the other grandma, you know, you really shouldn't eat all these preservatives. You better shop in the health food store and make sure everything you have is preservative free. And the other one chirped in, well, honey, at my age, I need all the preservatives I can get. God wants to renew your love for him, your zeal for him, and renew your friendship within him and others. And here's the thing, ladies and gentlemen, everything that goes on in life that can be enjoyed stems out of a right relationship with God. Have you ever noticed that when your relationship with God is, you know, not going well, none of your relationships are going well? We've got to pay attention to our first love. He needs to be our first love. You will never love a husband or wife or anybody else the way God intended you to love them until you love him and receive his love for yourself. He loves you. You are precious. You are the apple of his eye. One husband said to another husband, I can never win an argument with my wife. The other husband chimed in, well, that's funny, I always have the last word. And the second husband says, I just say, yes, dear. That's how I get the last word. It's very hard to have renewal. It's very healthy to have renewal of wedding vows, celebrations of relationships, celebrations of the people in the church, the appreciation and a thank you. You know, God deserves all our thanks. But the simple form of saying the word thank you, thank you. Thank you, Pastors Tom and Lori, for your perseverance in the faith. Because of your perseverance, it equips me and strengthens me to persevere. And because of the fact that you're in this church today, it ministers to Gail sitting right there because we strengthen each other. The Bible says there's a corporate anointing. Two puts 10,000 to flight. You might not know all the details of each another's lives. You don't want to, I'm sure, you know. But just the fact that you're sitting around each other, ministers. I remember growing up in the Word at Christian Life Church. We had a guy in the church named Stan Whitson, and he was, you know, graduated Rhema Bible Training Center, maybe the first or second year that they even had it. He was a man of very few words, slow moving. You know, he didn't have a lot to say, but just the fact that I would see him and his wife there. There's other people that need God. There's other people that are believing for things. I think we get isolated because we think we're the only ones that are going through what we're going through. And we aren't. Everybody is going through things everywhere, but we are going through. Amen. We are going through to the other side. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So Psalm 51:10 needs to be our prayer of commitment this weekend. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. I mean, we just are not going to quit. You know, quitters never win and winners never quit. My dad, Van Crouch, said, you're not finished when you're defeated. You're finished when you quit, and it's always too soon to quit. I have great respect for my father, Van Crouch. He graduated in the third of the class that made the upper two-thirds possible. Instead of graduating magna cum laude, he graduated, Lordy, how come? In just three terms, the Kennedy, Nixon, and Ford term. And I had an unusual upbringing. My mother treated my dad like a real god. Every morning she crowned him. And then after she crowned him, she'd serve him burnt offerings. I knew their marriage was in trouble when they decided to go on a honeymoon. The flight attendant said, can I check your bags? And he said, no, she can walk. That was it. Life was really strange because I had a brother hooked up to a life support system, the refrigerator. He ate his Cheerios out of a satellite dish and had a bumper sticker that said, honk if you have groceries. How many of you know that families are like fudge, mostly sweet with a few nuts? And as I said early, sometimes you feel like a nut, sometimes you don't. I didn't bring any of my nuts with me today. No, I'm just kidding. No, I'm the only nut here today. I love my family. I've got great kids. I'm so blessed. You know, it's work. It's work just being together. Just working together is work. Why? Because God created us individually and different. But he created us for each other. If everybody was exactly like me or exactly like you, there'd be no reason for anybody else. We need each other. God created us for each other. He created us to minister our gifts to one another. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, we got to keep focused again on keeping the main things, the plain things, and the plain things, the main things. And for some, their jobs are the main thing. An employer counselor asked the client, do you have any other job experience? The client replied, I used to be a security guard at a nudist colony, but I couldn't stand pinning on the badge. I mean, we've got to do things. We've got to work, and we've got to keep our focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. We must come to God with a heart that's cleansed and a renewed spirit and wait in his presence. We must wait in his presence. For those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They'll run and not grow weary. They'll walk and not faint. Hallelujah. I mean, it's a two-way relationship. We don't need to always be moving our mouth. We can just sit there and listen to him. He's got good things to say to you. He's got great things to say to you. Hallelujah. If you need renewed by a do-it-again God, you wait in the presence of God to receive that renewal. Whatever you need is in his presence. Philippians 4:19 says that every need you have met is met in the glory of God. My God shall supply all the need for Kairos Bible School, all the need for Testament of Love Church, all the need for your family, according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. We've got much to do in 2022, and we need to do it again, God. And finally, we need to recharge. For some of you ladies, you might be getting a word from the Lord, charge! No, don't give your credit cards a workout. That's not, you know, always God's plan. I was in Kohl's the other day, and they've got such a great psychology on. You saved $555. I told the clerk, I said, my husband doesn't care what I save. He cares what I spend, you know. We had a tragedy at our house. My husband lost his wallet with all his credit cards in it. The tragedy was he didn't report them stolen for 6 months because whoever took them was spending less than me, so he didn't really notice. I want to charge you up in the Holy Ghost before we leave. Before we're done, I want to get some music on. We're going to pray. But I want you to know that the word charge, by Webster's definition, means to lay hold of, put a load on or in, to load. I know by the Spirit of God that the Holy Ghost is wanting to load you up again, and he's going to want to keep loading you again. He just wants you to be loaded with him. The anointing destroys the yoke. What is the anointing? It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Well, I just don't feel like I am Christ in me. Well, get in the Word. That's Christ. Get in the Word. That's Christ. Another definition of the word charge is to command, instruct, or exhort with authority. So I command you in the name of Jesus to go forth today being doers of the word of God. And if you want a do it again God to do it again for you, then you're going to need to do it again too. How many of you ever heard of praying once, showering once, eating once, working out once, giving once? Well, we're on the other side of April the 15th. You know who collects taxes in hell? The Infernal Revenue Service. You know, money's important to God. And, you know, we bought stock in a company that gives sound investments. And a teacher who was teaching her class on international economics said, you know, asked her student, what follows an international investment? And Joey replied quickly, an investigation. You know, if we sow liberally, we're going to reap liberally. God is not able to do without a cheerful, not a tearful, but a cheerful giver. So if you're going to, you know, be tearful and whine about it, just don't do it because, you know, if you want your hand, if you want God's hand to move on your behalf, move your hand on his behalf. If you want to stay recharged and loaded with the yoke-destroying anointing, then you're going to go out and you're going to pour it out on somebody else. Here's a little exhortation for you today, or, you know, find somebody. If you have to drive down the road and stop the car at a gas station or a grocery store, find somebody to say, hey, God loves you. He has great plans for you. If you can pray the prayer of salvation with them quickly, do that. But tell somebody what gives you hope. What gives you the reason to stand at the piano and worship your God? It's Jesus. Jesus wants to use you. And he wants to use me. So, Father, we're gonna go to the Lord. I want to pray for people as the Spirit wills. I want to lay hands on people. Come on up. If you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, if you have a need, whatever the need is, I don't want you to leave here without prayer and without feeling like, I got what I needed from God. So, Father, we thank you. Whatever God gives you, whatever God gives you, lebro shoko de bigiri di tia sande, robo sore bege se kelebo. Romo shokeri bigiri di tia Sunday. Romo solo tre teri di tia Sunday. Lebo shokeri beast. I'm going to turn the mic off so that people don't hear all my prayers for everybody. But I want to open up the altar at this time. Father, we thank